Okay, good morning, everyone. Okay, let's turn to Numbers chapter 23, verse 21. Numbers 23:21. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Let's turn to Zephaniah chapter 3. A difficult book to find. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The last passage is Romans chapter 8. And let's read verse 37 to 39. Let's read it together. Okay? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Speak to us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. When you look at Numbers chapter 23, the background of that passage is that a Moabite king, Balak, has hired this fortune teller Balaam to curse Israel, and he convinces him. And so when this Balaam goes to curse Israel, uniquely what happens is what comes out of his mouth is only blessings. And one of the verses which comes out is, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Now, when you read this verse just as it is, it sounds great. But when you see the background in the book of Numbers and Exodus as to how the people have behaved with God, it will amaze you as to what God is talking about his people. These are the same people who grumbled and complained. These are the same people in Numbers 13 and 14 said, "Let us go back to Egypt. God has brought us here to die." And then when the attack comes from the outside, this is what God is saying. And today is Mother's Day, and I was just thinking about this, that when the child creates a problem in school and the mother is called and the principal says, "Your child did this," and the mother will promptly say, "No, my child can never do this. My daughter or my son is so good," correct? Have you heard that scenario? Have you been a kid and you've lost a fight and gone to your mom and your mom has continued the fight? Yeah, that's like it, isn't it? And this is talks about the finished work of Christ. And I've been meditating on this subject of the love of God, where today, irrespective of how you are doing with God, whether you're doing well or not, whether you're in fellowship or not, whether you're really close or really far, whatever attack comes against you from Satan, God will say this. He has not observed iniquity in, put your name there. Nor has he seen wickedness in, put your name there. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Is that beautiful? I think that is incredible. And that is not a feeling, it is a fact. That is why we should not rely on our feelings. It is a fact. This is what the Bible declares about us. When Jesus died on the cross and his blood was shed for you and for me, and when you believed in Jesus as your Savior, this is declared as a fact. You are what? You are justified. And no accusation brought against you, though experientially you are in that condition, can stand before the courtroom of God. Because God chooses to see you in a different way. God cannot see you in the way you think he should ought to see you. But he sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that beautiful? I think that is incredible. Now, coming back to mamas today, right? Being a mama is good. I think being a mother is, and having a child, we could say from a human perspective, is the closest bond of human love. And what a mother does for her child, I don't think any of us men can do, right? It's the closest bond. And also the most sacrificial. The most sacrificial. So it's really important for us to understand that, and it's really important for us to appreciate that. Right? What? Our moms. Right? So if your mom is living today, please call her up, thank her, buy her a gift if you can. If your mom has passed away, that's fine. We are thankful to God, their memories of what they have done for us. Now, this is the key in the Bible. As a mom, you can influence your child, either for God or either against God. Correct? So here is Jacob's mom. What does she do? Time for blessing, right? Right? We'll dress you up like Esau so you can steal the blessing. Mama, I'll get caught. What did I tell you? Obey me. Right? Influence. What was it? Influence. You have in Matthew 14 a similar example where Herodias, and I was thinking, the daughter danced before Herod. And he says, I'll give you half my kingdom. But why didn't the daughter take half the kingdom? I mean, what was so valuable in the head of John the Baptist? Can you imagine? But the mother and daughter had a plan, I presume. The mother may have said to the daughter, if you dance and he says half the kingdom, say John the Baptist. Why? Because if you knock off his head, he will stop saying to Herod, it is wrong for you to have your brother's wife. We have Herod and we have the whole kingdom. Right? So influence. A mother can influence towards what? Bad. Or a mother can influence towards what? Good. Hannah, 1 Samuel 2. Prayed for the son, offered him at the temple, became the greatest priest judge, Samuel. And he was a blessing to Israel. 2 Timothy 1, the verse which Felix read. The faith which was in your grandmother, it is in your mother, and I believe also it is in you. Passes down the generation, the blessing. You have, I've said this before, I want to say it again. That John Wesley and Charles Wesley, the person who was important in their spirituality was who? Was their mother. Their mother taught them the Bible. Right? So if you are here today and you're a mother, that's a great thing. Your ministry may be one child or two children for your whole life. But through your investment and through your example and through your love, you can do something in their lives. Isn't that beautiful? Are you understanding? Everyone has a mother, including Hitler. Right? So yeah. So you can influence your child for the kingdom of God, or you can influence your child against the kingdom. Now this is the key. This is the key. And this is really important in our Indian context. Sometimes we love our mamas too much. So sometimes when mama says to do something which is against the Bible, this is the discussion. Baba, you got to do this. Mama, that is wrong. You know who gave birth to you? You know who breastfed you? And you're not obeying me? See, that's the key. The key is we love our moms, but we never love our moms to the point of loving our moms above God. Matthew 12, Mary came and Jesus said, who is my mother and who is my brother? But they that do the will of the Father. There must always be truth between my relationship and my mother. There must be truth between that. There must be truth which defines that. Right? Sometimes there will be estrangement when you stand up for the truth and your mama doesn't agree with joining a born-again church or being born again. There is an estrangement. But it is that estrangement which will cause, possibly give your mother a chance to believe in Jesus as a savior. Are you understanding? Right? And that's a good kind of estrangement. It's a personal cross estrangement today. So, this is really important for us to understand today. I was thinking about this, you know. Yes, some of us have our moms. Some of us don't have our moms, you know. You know, the lifetime of a mom is only as long as the mom is alive. A mom can die, correct? Sometimes some of us have thought that we can never live without our moms. I've heard people confess, oh, if my mother, something happens, I'll be devastated. You know? And sometimes God may allow that. And sometimes God allows that not to take her away, but to show that his love is far superior to a mother's love. That his love is far beyond, that it is what? It is eternal. So you see in Zephaniah chapter 3, you see this aspect where God is saying he will rejoice over you, right? He will be quiet in his love. He will, right? He will joy over you. And I was trying to imagine, like, what is that picture? How is he going to joy over us? How is he going? You know how it is? It's like, imagine the baby is here, right? And God is walking. And somebody meets him and he says, oh, this is your son, this is your, yeah, this is my son, my daughter, right? And then he is putting us to sleep. He is quiet in his love. He rejoices over us. And that is a millennial verse in Zephaniah 3 talking about the restoration of Israel in the future, which is going to happen. But you know what is really, really exciting this morning? That as an application, we have that verse. But what we have is Romans chapter 8. You know what is Romans chapter 8? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in what? Christ Jesus our Lord. No height, no depth, no things present, no things to come. Right? Nothing can separate us. No created creature can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, sometimes we can give up on one another. We can give up on people in the church because we are human beings. We can give up on a spouse. We are human beings. But you know what? God never gives up on his love. You know why? Because for God, okay, how far are you going to go away from me? Okay, let's see. 40 years? Okay, I can wait 40 years. Okay, 70 years of captivity? I can wait 70 years. Because a day in God's eyes is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. The father waited in Luke 15 and he went and he ran and he embraced his son, right? So I want to encourage us today. Yes, it is Mother's Day and we are thankful for our moms, but this is the key, that God loves us just the way we are. And God wants to have a personal relationship with us just the way we are. And God wants to have an intimacy with us just the way we are, without any conditions. Because his love is what? Unconditional. And even if you're far away, you and I will be brought to the point one day where, like Nehemiah 9 verse 33, we can say, we come to this conclusion that God, you were just in all of your ways, but we were unjust. And the context there is Nehemiah, when you read Nehemiah, Ezra is recounting their whole history of what God did for them, redeemed them, provided for them, and yet they became what? Unfaithful. And then they come to the conclusion that, Lord, we have to conclude that you were just in all your ways, but we were what? Unjust. Is that good? In conclusion today, if you're a mom and you have a small baby and she's driving you nuts in the night, just tell her John chapter 13 verse 7. You don't understand now, but you will understand someday. Right? If you have a child who's driving you nuts and you're a mother, what do you say? You don't understand now, but someday you will understand. In closing today, Isaiah chapter 49, 15 and 16. The Bible says, even if your mother forsakes you, it's highly improbable that your mother may not forsake you, but even if your mother forsakes you, I will never ever forsake you. I have carved you on the palms of my hand. Behold, your walls are graven in my hands. Amen. So let's be encouraged today I want to encourage each one of you and myself that as we sang that song, His love will never, never fail. His love will never run out. It'll never walk out on you. Because it is the love of God. Amen.